Cause of Death, the podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel.
It will happen every now and then in my podcast.
Cause of Death.
That we dive very deeply into what is happening. I will talk about it openly. By that I mean that liquids such as blood as an element will be the smallest problem.
The podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel.
I'm looking forward to taking you on a mind trip into my world as a crime scene cleaner. Cause of Death is one of the successful true crime scene podcasts in Germany. And my experience can be listened to here now.
Cause of Death.
Cause of Death. Lost place. The corpse in the basement. Marcel and his team are clearing the area around an abandoned bunker. As they venture inside the structure, Marcel overcomes a disturbing premonition. Cause of Death. The podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel. My name is Marcel Engel, and I work as a crime scene cleaner. Every now and then in my podcast, we will dive very deeply into what is happening. I will talk about it openly. By that, I mean that liquids, such as blood as an element, will be the smallest problem. I am looking forward to taking you on a mind trip into my world as a crime scene cleaner. Cause of Death is one of the successful true crime scene podcasts in Germany, and my experiences can be listened to here now. Cause of Death, the podcast with Marcel Engel. Attention! In winter, I will host a live event in Germany. I will tell live on stage about my three toughest cases from my top 10 most exciting crime scene cleanings. And we also have one or two surprises planned for this event. So if you're up for it and have the time and we're in your area, you're invited. When and where this all takes place will be published on my social media channels. At this point, I would also like to introduce you to Dennis from my team. He is with me today. Dennis, tell me a little bit about yourself. Already heard about it? Yes, exciting topic. I had an assignment from a client to clean up such a lost place. It was a very big challenge. I was contacted by a client from the authorities. It was about cleaning a crime scene at a remote location where construction was now to take place. I'll paraphrase the surroundings. We drove our vehicle through greenery along a dirt road. On the left and on the right, you only could see meadows and trees. You drove off the road and then another 5 minutes through a dirt road. If you looked out of the driver's side, you could see train tracks. We were even approached by a train. At the end of the way, we found ourselves in a large parking lot. I then found out that this parking facility used to be rented out to the German railroads, but due to changes in the route network, it was then no longer used. What we then also found out was that this place was now used for many other things, such as parking lot sex. Adjacent to the parking lot was a slope. The slope went up with a gradient of about 15 meters to such a small rampart. It looked more like a small forest. In this green area were many blackberry hedges, and between the blackberry hedges were many paths. You could see toilet paper, feces, and vomit at first glance. So that was our task, to clean this park as well as the small wooded area and the building behind it. On the way to the building entrance, we had to pass through the trampling paths. Along the way, we found toilet paper and garbage, as well as needles and other utensils. By the way, this was in the spring at the time. It was quite warm, and I was already wearing a t-shirt. It was a very beautiful summer day. Well, let's go on. We then walked up this incline, this little hill. It felt a little bit like running through the jungle. Then at the end, there was a small clearing. There were no more blackberry hedges. 3-4 large tree trunks distributed over an area of about 20 square meters. And everywhere on these tree trunks were laying condoms. There were condoms literally everywhere on the ground. From a hygienic point of view, it was all very questionable. In addition, the area we had to clean was very large. Of course, what also dampened our spirits a bit was the visible drug use. We found syringes and needles everywhere. We then also immediately learned why this was happening. We went a bit further up this clearing and discovered tarpaulins and sleeping bags on one side of the building, and there was actually laying a human being. We were shocked at first, and then I yelled, "Service!" We tried to get this person to us and explained to him that we need to clean. And then I consulted the client by phone, who then called an ambulance and said he would take care of it. He would send someone over, possibly also a caregiver, who would then take care of the homeless person. That was then no longer an issue for us. And what I didn't know was that this part of the building, where several people had camped out and slept, was considered a hotspot for drug consumption and sex-hungry people. There was a small anteroom on the side of the building. At the end of this anteroom, it went about 10 meters in. Everything was full of foliage and plants had grown in. Over decades, nature took over the building. Then at the end of the anteroom, you could see a steel grate. The grate was open. We went in and you could immediately see that people were living here. It looked like a night camp. This was a big moral problem for us. We could not simply take away the sleeping place of the poor people. I had to talk to the client on the phone again. The job was very challenging. My order was the cleanup. The client certainly also has the right to the property and can do what he wants there. But still, you have to consider that people live there who own nothing and otherwise have no place to sleep. And it is not an easy job to just throw them out. The client told me on the phone that he will take care of this problem personally. He also told me to take a look at the bunker annexes. Then it suddenly became clear to me that these rooms were leading to bunkers. I have seen reports about how many of them still exist in Germany. Especially in Berlin, there are many of them. Lost places. That's what they're called. Cause of death. The podcast. The crime scene. So the task was to see if people were living in this bunker, and if so, to clean it up. My client wanted to convert and use the bunker for construction. Customer is king. I then stood in front of this bunker door. The door had four large levers, about 30 centimeters long, which one had to be moved in order to release at all this locking mechanism from the door. That was really time-consuming. We then had to get a huge big 2-kilo hammer. It was not sealed. It was technically just locked. But I didn't need a key or anything to open it. We had to get this door open with a hammer. I didn't really know what was waiting for me beyond that door. No one had probably been in there for decades. I've been in a bunker before, and it's often damp and dry inside. Yes, you were right, but we had an LED spotlight and then opened the door. It was strangely tidy. On the walls, the oil paint is peeled off. The floor was very dusty. When we walked through the bunker with this flashlight, I saw something scurrying next to us every now and then. But I think that's just the way it is when you're in such a dark place. You quickly create pictures in your mind. Because you somehow have this glow, this quickness, and then the eye plays a trick on you, because it can't keep up. Of course, you are also extremely tense. Once again, a greeting to all those who are listening to this now as they fall asleep. Well, the LED flashlight was on. I went ahead. I then had this big room in front of me. As I said, the walls were a bit rotten, the floor slightly dusty, like the room had really been abandoned for 40 years. So you couldn't tell that anything could have happened in there. And then we walked down the corridor. Then I told the boys to watch out. We have to mark the way in any case. We do not know exactly how big the facility is. You can get lost here like in a labyrinth, and such a battery flashlight does not last forever. The guys were actually very tense. I also had an apprentice with me, but he didn't feel like doing anything. He even went out again because he supposedly saw a shadow. The boy must have seen too many horror movies. I then told him to relax and he could wait outside for the client. But he didn't want to do that either because he didn't want to deal with the drug addicts outside. Then we reached a point where I said, "Okay, look, then just stay right behind me. I'm your buddy and I go first, and I guarantee you nothing will happen to you with me." Thank you, thank you. The boy then walked close behind me like my shadow. There were three of us in this big room. At the end, there was a corridor that led off to the right, and there the situation looked quite different again. The floor was full of rubble. You could also see mounted lamps on the walls. We walked further down the corridor. It was about 50 meters long, and as we were in the second third of this corridor, I suddenly noticed a strange smell. The illumination of the LED flashlight was good, but you couldn't really see to the end. And then my alarm bells went off. We walked on. I didn't say anything to our apprentice, and I didn't say anything to the others. I didn't want to spoil them with my speculations. At the end of the corridor, there was a dead end. So the corridor was over. the LED flashlight casted quite a strange shadow. This niche, this dead end, was built 5 meters deep into this hill. One had already gotten used to these shadows on the ground, and I actually didn't expect anything more. And then suddenly, I turned around and looked into the face of a corpse. Cause of death. The podcast. The victim. Wow, and there he was laying. A human being. Clothes on. Decomposition process strongly advanced. He was almost just a skeleton. It looked creepy. The facial features were sunken in. You could see almost only bones. The cheekbones, these expressions of the jaw and the mouth stood open, and on the nose was somehow no more tissue on it, and the eyes themselves were also quite strangely black. The hair was still visible. Long hair. Well, I've often seen corpses, but this one really shocked me. Besides, I already had an intuition, but I didn't tell the others. I completely blanked out everything, even the smell of decay. I was speechless for a moment. But let's go back to the story again. So I looked the dead man in the face, my apprentice behind me. He didn't see it at that moment. I took a half step back at the moment because I was startled. And then I noticed how my apprentice was looking over my shoulder. And all of a sudden, he started screaming. He didn't stop. I talked to him and tried to calm him down, and tripped over a piece of rubble and fell on his face. This flight reaction caused my other coworker to panic. My two boys fled the first 10 meters down the hall until they realized, shit, Marcel has the light. I just wanted to ask, do they have light at all? It was pitch dark. I then shouted into the darkness, guys, 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 easy, easy. This is now the first time you've seen a dead body. Stay calm. I had already seen many. These two have never seen one in their lives. Our problems were getting bigger and bigger. Besides the corpse we had to take care of, there was also the outside plant that had to be cleaned. There was shit, vomit, syringes. People who live there under the influence of drugs. So we ran out of the corridor. I called the client, said, we have a dead body in the basement. At first he thought I was joking. He didn't understand how serious the situation was until I repeated to him that someone had really died here. We were really prepared for anything, but not a body found cleanup. But everybody calmed down. I then told my client, well, the normal standard is actually that you contact someone, send them here, an emergency physician, to determine the death. That he is dead is clear, but the authorities must know and confirm that. Then a mortician comes, a company that then transports the body away, and then the crime scene cleaner comes and cleans the crime scene. Then a very nice lady came who was sent by my client. She was supposed to take care of the homeless and the drug addicts. When she arrived, I had already talked to my client on the phone, but he had not yet contacted her. She then arrived on site and came walking towards us. She knew the terrain. Then we stood in front of the bunker. The junkie was still just lying there. The lady then said, "So we are now waiting for the ambulance and confiscate the rest of the things." And since I did not know whether she knew that we have found a corpse, I have asked her stupidly, quite insensitive. And what do we do with the body? The poor lady went completely pale. She changed color from 1 second to the next. Then she said, "What kind of corpse?" I then told her that there was a corpse in the bunker. According to my professional experience, it was badly decomposed, and I had actually just clarified everything by phone when she asked, "Well, what do we do now?" I then told her, "Well, this typical process that you go through when you find a body has already been commissioned." She asked, "Do I have to stand here now all the time?" I answered, "Well, you don't need to guard the corpse. He won't run away anymore. I just tried to loosen up the situation a bit." But the lady was scared and angry. I mean, I can understand. She arrived on the scene quite happy to act as a problem solver. "Yes, and then I come." Then the crime scene cleaner comes and says, "By the way, we found a body." "Yes, our apprentice." He then played the brave one and said, "You don't need to be afraid. You can also go in with my boss. Nothing will happen to you." That was nice of him. By the way, it was almost the same as what I just said. I had to smile. We cleaned the whole parking lot. We had to start with something, step by step. We cleared away the homeless people's things. An ambulance came and someone from the social services took care of the drug addict. The emergency doctor came again for the body and the mortician. Yes, and then the client called me and said, "Look, Mr. Engel, can you actually take care of this?" "Well, that's what we're here for," I said. "And of course, we can also clean up the corpse or the place where the corpse was found." He answered, "That would be good, because tomorrow the architect should be in the bunker." That was indeed a bit tight timeline, because it was already almost afternoon. But well, we do it. But he should then expect that the smell may not be completely gone. Well, all no problem. I pointed it out to him, so we walked back into the facility. The body had to be taken away. I know that architects are also tough guys and have often had to see a lot, depending on what they are in charge of. But such a corpse was something else again. Accordingly, the claim was of course in the short time to achieve a top result. And at this point, I want to mention again, the corpse was laying at the end of the corridor in a niche. The corpse was slightly leaning against a wall. Well, it was rather bricks than a wall, and the floor itself consisted of gravel and earth. That was a problem, of course, because it allowed the corpse fluid to seep deep into the soil structure. That was really annoying. After all, I had promised my client that I would clean everything up. We dug and dug. We didn't have a spade with us either and had to improvise. We had a small metal hand shovel and really dug layer by layer. And at the end of the day, this corpse fluid had really seeped into the ground almost 2 meters deep. We worked late into the night cleaning up the crime scene. The guys stood by me faithfully. It was really exhausting. We also had to carry out the heavy waste bags where we put the garbage from the cleanup in, and we didn't have a wheelbarrow. In the meantime, I even wanted to call my client and tell him that we would have to postpone the whole thing, but there was no one available. The corpse fluid had seeped deep up to 2 meters into the ground. It felt as if we were drilling a well. And on the wall, or rather on the bricks, we then had the next problem. The corpse fluid had penetrated deep into the brickwork. We then tried to hose it off with water, and somehow this corpse fluid kept splashing us in the face. We usually have a face shield for such cleaning. It's like a helmet with a transparent flap in the front that protects your face. That's what Corona had in the beginning, a face shield. But we didn't have it with us. My boys and I got these splinters in our faces all the time, and somehow this material, which we disinfected beforehand, of course, got us all these little micro-injuries. And the next day we looked as if we had chicken pox. That was really unpleasant. And I mean, we take care of our health and our safety, but it couldn't be prevented. And the job had to be completed. I expected a lot from my guys, and I just tried to be a good role model and keep going. Well, as I said, I looked like one of those crumble cakes. Disgusting. My skin was reddened and pus-filled. That was one of the biggest after effects I ever got from a crime scene. After that, they called me Crumble Cake for quite a while. My naughty boys. Well, never mind. So it went on in any case into the late night. We then did a thermal fogging procedure to really guarantee odor neutralization the next day as well. Everything really worked out to the customer's satisfaction. What I took away from this crime scene cleaning is that everything can turn out quite differently than planned. I've already described this in a podcast, and I just wanted to bring you in again as a listener. You are already extremely tense and make up pictures in your mind, and then suddenly, bang, another surprise. All your body hair stands up. You would like to run away or get into a fighting position, depending on what type you are. My job is and always will be extremely exciting, and that's exactly my thing. And I would like to perhaps conclude by talking about today's podcast. We are always full of deepest respect for the deceased. I want to take you into these crime scene stories and into my thought world and my daily job description to make you think. And in fact, every single person who likes to hear it. Namely, thinking about life before death. It would be so nice if you maybe recognize an essence from one or the other story that you can project on yourself, and maybe even find something you want to change in your life. And dear Dennis knows all about it. We are just about to create great things for the future for you. That is, there will soon be an online course. So cool. We already know what it's called, but we don't want to tell you yet. Yes, I believe that there are three factors in life that make us truly happy. That's what I've learned for myself from the 15,000 crime scenes in connection with my own life and my social environment. It's always just a question of how to tell a story in life that makes you think. That's it again with a new episode of our new podcast. And I say, thank you. Glad to have had you on, Dennis. You also have to say bye. Yes, thank you very, very much for your time. I'm glad you were there. If you feel like it, feel free to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel. Other than that, have a wonderfully wonderful day, whatever is left of it. Until the next time, look, you're Marcel. That's it for the new episode of Cause of Death, the podcast with Marcel Engel Kopf, a special purity of his own and crime scene cleaner at more than 12,000 locations around the world. What can Marcel clean up for you? Anytime, worldwide. Get in touch or just click through to MarcelEngel.com. Empathic, profound, honest. Cause of Death is guaranteed to leave you cold. Be part of it. I'm glad, me. Subscribe to the season and you come for no episode.
The podcast with crime scene cleaner, Marcel Engel. Cause of Death.